Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Dusty Likens producing this thing. Brandon Kiley on the sidelines today. We got a lot of stuff to get into in today's show. We got Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. He'll be on in 30 minutes. We'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. We've got Greg Bedard, New England sports writer. He's the owner of Boston Sports Journal, formerly of SI. He'll be on the show coming up at 3 o'clock to give you the Patriots perspective. We're going to have Bill Moss in studio. We're going to have the Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter on the show today. We got everything you need to get ready for Chiefs and Patriots in the first ever AFC Championship game at Arrowhead. And to my right, donning the Chiefs red, donning the Chiefs Scully. He told me he's got on Chiefs underpants. The one, the only, Brad Fanning. How you doing today,
man? Oh, good, man. I got them on backwards, too, man. They feel good, let me tell you. Everything I'm wearing today, C-Dot, I wore last Friday, and the Chiefs came through and got the W against the Colts, so I did the same thing today. You know what I mean?
I told you guys today I am Carrington Claus, so we need caller number six right now, 913-576-7610. Caller number six right now wins a Neil Smith autographed football. We will give one more Neil Smith autographed football away during Pick a Player today, but we want to kick things off right here, so we'll give you a chance to win one. Caller number six, 913-576-7610. All you got to do is tell Dusty that you think he's a great human being, and the Neil Smith autographed football is yours. I want to start today's show and maybe give people the proper context of what is upon the Kansas City Chiefs and what is now, 48 hours away. I don't want to start things off on a negative foot, but I want people to fully understand the gravity of what stands before the Kansas City Chiefs. I am not saying that Patrick Mahomes will only have this one opportunity to go to the AFC Championship game. I'm not calling him Dan Marino. I think that Mahomes will have multiple chances to go to the Super Bowl, win Super Bowls, host AFC Championship games, to take this team back to the Super Bowl. But I think it's very possible this could be his best opportunity. If you look at the offense and how dynamic they are, if you look at the emergence of Damian Williams, if you look at getting Sammy Watkins back relatively healthy, if you look at Tyreek Hill, you look at Travis Kelce having guys in their prime, if you want to look at this defense and the confidence that they're playing with, probably playing with the most confidence we've seen a Chiefs defense play in 3, 4, maybe 5 years, maybe any time under Andy Reid and Bob Sutton, this defense is maybe playing at the highest level it is coming off. If you talk about getting that playoff monkey off your back when it comes to the Indianapolis Colts and everybody being optimistic and positive about this team, I do not think this is Mahomes' only opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, but it is very possible this is his best opportunity to go, especially when you factor in, we talk all the time that the greatest advantage you can have in pro sports is having a great quarterback on a rookie contract. The next time Mahomes gets back to this game, he might be the highest paid player in the history of the NFL. That might mean no Sammy Watkins. That might mean no big time weapons on the outside. You are the weapon and you got to make do with some lesser parts there. This might be his best opportunity to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you talk about Mahomes' contract. What about Tyreek's, right? I mean, that's going to change probably before the training camp starts. Wouldn't you agree? I mean,
absolutely.
Tyreek's going to get paid. So that's going to go up. The other part of this, too, C-Dot, when you brought this up today, and it got me thinking, and I went back and I looked at all the quarterbacks that have gone to multiple Super Bowls. There's been 19 of them that have gone to multiple Super Bowls. But that list is fine. I think we all know who those guys are. We're talking the Bradys, the Elways, the Bradshaws, the Montanas, the Staubachs, the Peyton Manning, Jim Kelly, Big Ben, Aikman. You know the list that I'm talking about. But here's the list that I wanted to throw out there, just to give people an idea how hard it is to get there or not get there and still be a great quarterback. How about this list of names that have been to one or none? Aaron Rodgers, Dan Marino, Philip Rivers, Steve Young, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Warren Moon, Dan Fouts. Those guys, that is a list of ridiculously good quarterbacks. I mean, you got Brees is going to be a Hall of Famer. Fouts is a Hall of Famer. Moon's a Hall of Famer. Young's a Hall of Famer. You and I both think Phillip Rivers is going to be a Hall of Famer. Marino, Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers, going to be a Hall of Famer. These are guys that went to one or none or no Super Bowl at all. That's a great list to be on. If you're in that group of quarterbacks, then that means you're one of the greatest of all time. And I'm with you. Like, when you first said this to me, because I was going into this week, C-Dot, and I'm like, man, this is gravy. Come on now. I mean, the Chiefs are ahead of schedule here. It's Mahomes' first year as a starting quarterback. I mean, whatever happens, I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think they're going to curb stomp the Patriots. I think it's going to be a win, and they're going to the Super Bowl. So I'm just kick back and chilling. And then you got to come in and ruin my day and say this might be his best chance to get there. But you're right. Based on everything, based on rookie contract, based on Tyreek not being paid, based on being able to spend some money on a guy like Sammy Watkins, who you think might come up big in the playoffs, you know, as a nice little insurance policy for him. So, yeah, you change my thinking a little bit, and I start going a different direction and started getting a little bit more anxious about this game against the Patriots.
And then I think you really got to factor in at this point of the year the advantage of having everybody healthy. We talked about it a lot yesterday. Man, you haven't gone into a lot of playoff games having a fully healthy Justin Houston. Yeah. You haven't gone into these games with having all the bullets in the gun that you can have. And there's one stat that I've seen a lot of people throw out there and a lot of people have mentioned about the Patriots on the road in playoff games and how they haven't won too many games. Mm-hmm. I feel like people are forgetting the obvious in this. If you go on the road in the playoffs, 95% of the time, you are the worst team. That's how the playoff works. The better team in the regular season, you get the home game. Now, I understand that some teams win the division, and then you can win the division and have 12 wins like Los Angeles,
sure,
and then go on the road to Baltimore. But once you get to the AFC Championship game, once you get to this round of the playoffs, you are the home team because you were the better team in the regular season. The Chiefs, on paper, are a better team than the New England Patriots. If we're doing a tale of the tape and we're matching up talent for talent, mm-hmm, we're matching up everything. The Chiefs are a better team than the New England Patriots. And then to go to your thing about Super Bowls and only having one, I'll take it one step further. And I want fans to understand and appreciate the moment, too. You don't always get to host the AFC Championship game. I looked it up. The best quarterbacks of this generation. Ben Roethlisberger has only hosted the AFC Championship game three times in his time in Pittsburgh. Peyton Manning, and we know the great run that he had in Indy, only hosted the AFC Championship game two times. Drew Brees, this will be his second time hosting the NFC Championship game. Aaron Rodgers has played in three NFC Championship games, and they've never been the home team. Man, these opportunities, they don't come six, seven, eight times unless you're going to be the Patriots. You get one, two, maybe three to host the AFC Championship game. I know Kansas City has been waiting for a long time. I want you to enjoy the next 48 hours because there is no guarantee you get back to this place. Or if you do, there's no guarantee it's next year. It could be seven, 8 years down the line. Again, I'm not saying that Mahomes will not get back to this place because I think he is talented enough and the talent around him is certainly strong. But when you factor everything in, this could be his best opportunity to go win a ring.
Absolutely. You're right. And the rookie contract, the cheap deal for Tyreek, saving a bunch of money at the running back position right now. You haven't had to pay Chris Jones yet. You're right. And I think, I would assume anyway, that the Chiefs' thinking going into this whole deal was this. Let's surround Mahomes with as much offensive talent as we possibly can in his early years, and then we have to pay people. We can pay him, and then we'll give him lesser receivers. I mean, we've seen that in New England. Look how many receivers have come through there with Tom Brady, the Wes Welkers of the world, the Julian Edelmans. I mean, pick your Danny Amendola. You know, pick your receivers that have gone through there. And you've seen that the great ones, no matter who you surround them with, the older that they get, they can still win and still get to this game. Now, I think Mahomes is going to be that guy. I think Mahomes is going to be able to make anybody better when it comes to receivers. Right now, though, I mean, let's be honest. If Mahomes didn't have Tyreek and didn't have Sammy and he had Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson and Marcus Kemp and Garrett Dieter, probably not enough to be able to get you to the AFC title game. 2-3 years from now, maybe it is.
And part of, I think, of understanding the magnitude of this game and how big the opportunity is for the Kansas City Chiefs is, we talked about it all week. I think the conversation on Monday after the AFC and NFC championship games could be this. I think it could be the Patriots did it again. We buried them in the game against the Dolphins. We buried them in the game against Pittsburgh. They found a way to get to another Super Bowl. Now Brady going to his 10th Super Bowl. Or the conversation could be the end of the New England Patriots dynasty. I thought that Patrick Mahomes earlier in the week said it perfectly. My entire life, it feels like the New England Patriots have been good because for the most part, they have been good. That if this is the end of the Patriots dynasty, and it is certainly possible, the odds, I would say, are in Kansas City's favor to end the dynasty of the New England Patriots. I think you've got to really understand what that means. Over the 16-year run of the New England Patriots, they have played in this game, the AFC Championship game, 13 times. This is their eighth straight. They've won 5 Super Bowls, 8 appearances. They have won double-digit games every year since 2002. Since Tom Brady has taken over as a starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, he and Bill Belichick have won 77% of their games. Man, the NFL is not designed for one team to absolutely dominate it the way the Patriots have for the last 16 years. It's simply not made that way. When you think of injuries, when you think of the NFL draft, when you think of the salary cap, it is made for you to be good for 3 to 4 years, for then you to rebuild, and then you to start over, and then you continue that cycle. It is not designed for you to be as good for as long as the New England Patriots is. So if this team on Sunday can go out there, and I would say more than any team we've seen during the history of this run, to be the ones to say, we ended the dynasty of the Patriots. It's possible this is the last game for Tom Brady. It's possible this is the last game for Rob Gronkowski. It's possible that the dynasty that has defined my time watching the NFL, it is very possible that it comes to an end Sunday night in Kansas City.
Yeah, and it's one thing to see a dynasty end. I remember seeing those great Cowboys teams of the mid-90s. And when they finally got knocked out by the Carolina Panthers in the division round back in 1996, I'm like, okay, it's probably over. You got Barry Switzer as your head coach right now. You know, and you knew it was over. And that was a nice little, 4-5 year run that they had where they won 3 Super Bowls. It's one thing to see a dynasty end. It's a completely different animal to have your team end a dynasty. That's what the Chiefs have the opportunity to potentially do on Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium. End the greatest dynasty in professional sports history. See, that you said dynasties are 3, 4, 5 years at a time? I mean, we saw that with some of the Steelers in the 70s. You know, we saw it with the Cowboys in the 90s. This has been an 18-year deal. Patrick Mahomes was 5 years old when Tom Brady won the Super Bowl in 2001. 18 years. And our team, our city, our quarterback, our football team has a chance to end it in Kansas City on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium.
I mean, I would say right now the Patriots, I don't think they're 6 feet under. I certainly think they're 3 right now. I think it's obvious that they are a band that is on their final world tour.
Sure.
We just determined how many songs are left in the set. The Chiefs could be the thing that ends the great dynasty, which has been the New England Patriots. Coming up on the other side, I looked in the prize closet, and we got one extra bobblehead doll to give away. We'll give it away coming up in just a minute with the email contest. And I'm turning into Brad Fanning. There is one thing, one fear that I have that I absolutely cannot shake heading into this game. I'll tell you what it is coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
No problem.
Back in on The Drive, Carrington here, Fanning here, taking you up until 6 o'clock, telling you everything you need to know, getting you ready for Chiefs and Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Shannon Sharp of Fox Sports 1, undisputed, is picking the Chiefs in a close one.
So I'm going to take the Chiefs in a close ball game, Skip. I'm going to say 27-23. Mm-hmm. I believe they challenged the receivers. Mm-hmm. I believe they put pressure on Tom Brady, coaxed him into one turnover, maybe a second turnover, and they win this ball game, and they represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
So coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll catch up with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus, and we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. I want to give you guys an opportunity to win some more prizes, you know? I told you guys this week I'm calling myself Carrington Claus. I'm handing out gifts. We're going to do another email contest, booth@610sports.com. The email contest is very simple. We're asking you to tug the heartstrings a little bit here. What would the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl mean to you? Some of you have been lifelong Chiefs fans. I'm talking 30, 40 years. You went to games with your dad. Maybe you went to games with your grandpa and he passed away. Maybe you remember watching the Lynn Elliott game, and you remember watching all those games. Very simple. We'll give you a Tyreek Hill bobblehead. What would the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl mean to you? We'll start with you, Brad Fanning, as a lifelong Chiefs fan, as somebody who has a season ticket holder personalized jersey on today. What would the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl, especially being able to see it in person, mean to you?
Well, you just gave me goosebumps again for like the 85th time this week, man. My cousin Mike, who is like an older brother of mine, he's 10 years older than me, so he is 58 years old now. He said to me that he goes, man, I feel like I'm kind of running out of time here. I need to see a Chiefs Super Bowl. And, you know, when you're younger, you're like, I'll get my crack at it, right? We'll see one somewhere. So I think there's a lot of fans that feel the exact same way. From my perspective, you have to understand, guys that are in their 40s, that are my age, we grew up and the Chiefs were basically a non-factor in this city throughout the 70s and the majority of the 80s. I mean, the Royals were killing it across the parking lot in the 70s and the 80s. The Chiefs were going 3-6 in a strike year. They were going 4-12, 2-12, working in a 9-7 in 1981 with Joe Delaney before he passed away. And then finally in 1986, and I still remember this, when the Chiefs go 10-6 under John Makovic, Bill Moss was on that team. We'll talk to him coming up at 5 o'clock. The Chiefs finally got into the playoffs. I was a junior in high school. I had a rec basketball game that afternoon. It wasn't even appointment television to go watch the Chiefs play the Jets in the playoffs. And then everything changed when Marty got here. I was at that Monday night game against the Buffalo Bills. You know, where it is so hard to describe that night in 1991 when the Chiefs beat the Bills 33-6. The journey that most Chiefs fans have been through since Marty got here in 1989 to where we are now, about 48 hours away from an AFC title game. I got to be honest with you, C-Dot. I don't know what it means to me yet, other than it's real. It's a great feeling. I have no idea what it feels like to have the Kansas City Chiefs going to a Super Bowl. I don't know what I will feel. We've seen the Royals do it 4 times. Seen KU win national championships if you're a KU fan. So I don't know what I'm going to feel. All I know is it would be unbelievable. And it's hit me a handful of different times over the course of the week that the Chiefs are actually hosting an AFC title game, which to me is still mind-blowing.
So we're having an email contest, booth@610sports.com. The email contest is very simple. The winner gets a Tyreek Hill bobblehead. All you have to do is tell us what would the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl mean to you. About every 30 minutes, we'll read some of our best suggestions. At the end of the show, we'll give it away. So you've got all afternoon. Go ahead and collect your thoughts. Get ready. What would the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl mean to you? Go ahead and email us, booth@610sports.com. I'm turning into you a little bit here. I don't even know if it's turning into you. I think this is pretty logical, but you guys can tell me if I'm wrong here.
I mean, couples kind of become each other. You know, we've been together for a couple of years now.
I don't want to be considered Buzz Killington in this.
Yeah.
I don't want to be. But I also want to pay the proper respect to the New England Patriots and the dynasty that they are. We talk about Bill Belichick being the greatest defensive mind of all time. You remember, back when the Buffalo Bills had the highest flying offense in the world, who shut it down? Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. We talk about the schemes and it's Bill Belichick. This is the fear I cannot shake heading into this game. You have allowed Bill Belichick to already see Patrick Mahomes once. And I think in the back of his mind, I think Bill Belichick knew whenever they left Foxborough and he got in his car and he realized how good and some of the stuff Patrick Mahomes could do, he realized in order for this year's team to get back to the Super Bowl, they had to beat Patrick Mahomes. And I can't think of an interception, and maybe you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, where I felt like the other team's defense got Mahomes. That it wasn't like he made a bad decision, he made a throw that a young player would make that he'll grow out of. When Dante Hightower got that interception, I thought he baited Patrick Mahomes. I think that's purely on coaching. The fear I have in this game is Belichick realized in week 6, he's been storing mental notes. He's been staying after at the practice facility 15 minutes later watching Patrick Mahomes, solely prepping and preparing to go up against Patrick Mahomes. I wouldn't be surprised if Belichick had one of his goons say, hey, you're not going to be working on Buffalo. You're not going to be working on Miami. We can take care of that. I need you to fully be watching the Kansas City Chiefs, and I need you to bring me reports every single week about Patrick Mahomes and what they're doing. I can't shake the fear of you got him in the second half of that game. Belichick got you the first half. You guys remember Chiefs only scored 9 points in that game. Second half, Chiefs scored 31 points. Mahomes had 4 incompletions and 4 touchdown passes. He was downright masterful in that second game. I cannot shake the feeling of Belichick just has something ready for Patrick Mahomes that Mahomes has never seen before, not just in the NFL, in his entire time playing football, that Belichick has something ready for the young quarterback.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about that part of it because I think Mahomes is the exception to about every single rule. So how many times have we seen Mahomes get hit this year? A bunch. You know, I've talked about this before on multiple occasions that I don't think we give his toughness enough credit. The guy could take a hit. He's now looks extremely comfortable in the pocket. We know what happens when he gets out of the pocket. Then it just becomes backyard football, draw something up in the dirt, start ad-libbing, and he can kill you with a 40-yard throw across his body to the far hash mark, you know, with the game on the line. I don't know how you defend that. I mean, the only way you do get it is to try to fool him like you did with Hightower, and that happened one time this year. And if you look back at what the Patriots have done against teams that they played in the regular season, what are they, 12-9 in the playoffs against teams that they've played in the regular season, 16-1 against teams that they have not faced in the regular season? I don't think Belichick, as great as he is, the greatest defensive mind in the NFL, has an answer for Mahomes. He might get him once, but he ain't getting him more than once. And even go back to what Jeff Schwartz was telling us yesterday on the show, C-Dod, about, remember in the beginning of the year, Schwartz was saying that Mahomes, when he needed to get out of the pocket, he was running backwards, and that led to a lot of holding calls. Now he's stepping up and running sideways or forward to get out of the pocket. So he's evolved too. Let's not forget that was week 6 when the Chiefs played the Patriots. Mahomes is, he's still got the freakish talent and all that stuff, but he's also matured. So I'm not, my fears that I have are solely have to do with James White and if I can truly believe in that Chiefs defense one more time to get it done. When it comes to Mahomes and Belichick, I don't think he has an answer for him.
And you know how we say that some people live off the feeling of you can't do something. That when you tell certain people there's sure. no way you can do X, they feed off of it. I find it hard to believe that you're telling me Bill Belichick, who has been doing this for what, 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking back in the starter jacket, bubble coats, Lawrence Taylor days. He's been coming up with defensive game plans to stop everybody's offense. I'm talking greatest show on turf. I'm talking 98 Vikings. I'm talking 07. I'm talking everybody. You're telling me that Patrick Mahomes is the one thing that Bill Belichick, he's finally been stumped? He's been stumped in finding it. I'm just saying, I personally can't shake that fear when it comes to this matchup.
I think Tyreek Hill is actually that guy, not Mahomes, because he can't stop Tyreek Hill. He said this week that it's, you know, he's getting nightmares from Tyreek Hill. And if you look what Tyreek's done, he's had more receiving yards over the past 2 years against the Patriots than any other receiver in the league. I mean, Tyreek's got him for what, 4 touchdowns and 275 yards in 2 games against the Patriots? So now you combine Mahomes and Tyreek Hill? Yeah, I mean, you could scheme all you want, man. And I'll go back. You know, one of my cousins told me in our text chat earlier in the season, man, I bet every coach is trying to copy Andy Reid's offense right now. And I'm like, yeah, but every coach doesn't have Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, and Kareem Hunt. If you got better guys, it makes it awfully tough to scheme, and eventually the better guys are going to overcome that.
I mean, you guys on the text line are saying I'm being negative. I'm down on the Chiefs. I'm sorry. All week I've been holding it. I just can't shake it. I just feel like Belichick has had some intern down in the basement breaking down and analyzing Chiefs plays.
And Andy Reid hasn't
since,
had that?
Since week 6 and getting ready.
And Andy Reid hasn't had that? Doing that against the Patriots?
I just think Belichick's better than Andy Reid. You don't. That's the difference in me.
Because Andy Reid's hung 40 on him in 3 of the 4 times he's faced him as a Chiefs coach. You know, and 3 of those were with Alex Smith. 2 wins with Alex Smith. I mean, this young quarterback who had an awful first half in Foxborough was able to put 40 on the board in New England. So, yeah, there's certain guys that you don't have an answer for. You got an answer for the no-look pass? You got an answer for throwing across your body? You got an answer for all that stuff? I don't think Belichick does. So what do you want to do? You want to force him out of the pocket? He'll kill you. You want to leave him in there? Tyreek will get open. I mean, I'm not saying that he's not going to throw some stuff at the Chiefs that the Chiefs haven't seen because Belichick is Belichick. But I think with the freakish ability that Mahomes has and a lot of the things that we've never seen before, I think that's the advantage that Mahomes has over Belichick.
Coming up in 5 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. And we'll catch up with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus to tell you everything you need for the Chiefs and Patriots AFC Championship game. All that coming up is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, it is your chance to win $1,000 on the 30s in the national cash contest. Text the word jury, J-U-R-Y, jury, 272881. If you want Chiefs talk and a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s, well, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both weekdays from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Messages and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
Excuse me?
Text the word jury, J-U-R-Y, jury, 272881. Your national cash contest code word is jury, as in a court of law, J-U-R-Y. Earlier today, we had the opportunity to catch up with our guy, Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus, with stats and information so good that NFL teams pay for, and it's backed by NBC Sports and Chris Collinsworth. Our conversation with Sam Munson started with, what did he make of the Chiefs' dominant performance on defense last week?
Yeah, they were. And really, they've been a different unit at Arrowhead Stadium than they've been on the road this year. I think some of that is definitely because just strength of competition. They played better teams on the road this season than they played at home. But there's something to it. You know, they've got a much dramatically different points differential at home versus on the road, not just this year, but for like the last 3 years. So this Arrowhead Stadium home field advantage thing, it's probably more real for the Chiefs than it is for most teams in the NFL. They've got one of the strongest home field advantages out there. The defense was really good this last week, particularly Dee Ford again. He said all season long that, you know, his amazing year just continues. It hasn't dropped off at any point. He kept it every single week. Chris Jones, obviously, was the other factor up front. Those three batted passes, Justin Houston got in on the act as well. So if you've got those three guys all cooking, then this defense is a pretty good unit. And obviously, they had that effect on Andrew Luck, who was not able to be the guy that we expected him to be going into that game. You know, if the Colts were going to win, it was going to be because Andrew Luck was going to have an amazing game and raise his level to be able to keep pace with the Chiefs, and he wasn't able to do that. I think a big part of that was T.Y. Hilton being banged up and not quite 100%, but they really did get after him and put him under more pressure than he's been for most games this season.
So, Sam, keeping it with defense, two guys I think all Chiefs fans are worried about, James White and Sonny. James White catching it out of the backfield, Sonny Michel on the ground. Patriots team is running for 158 yards after the bye week. What do you do defensively against the Patriots running attack?
Right, and I think White is the big problem there. You know, Sonny Michel, if Sonny Michel is the reason the Patriots win this game, then plenty of other things have gone wrong as well. James White, though, I think is a big enough factor in the passing game that he could be a mismatch problem all the way throughout the game. You know, he's breaking sort of records in terms of number of receptions in a game for running backs. He's catching more passes than pretty much anybody. He's catching, you know, getting 15 targets in a game, that kind of level of receptions as well. And the Chiefs don't have linebackers that can go one-on-one with him. They're going to need to figure out a methodology of covering him up with somebody from the secondary, whether it's Eric Berry playing this kind of joker role down towards the line of scrimmage, whether it's Sorensen getting a big run of game time. But they need to figure out a way of covering up James White that doesn't involve those inside linebackers, Anthony Hitchens, Reggie Ragland. Those guys just can't cover him one-on-one. And that could be a problem throughout the game. Sonny Michel, I think, is a capable runner. He's talking about one of the best offensive lines in the NFL when it comes to run blocking in the Patriots. So they're going to have some success on the ground, but that shouldn't be the reason the Chiefs lose this game. I think they're going to put up too many points on offense for the Patriots' running attack to be able to keep pace alone.
Talking to Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. Sam, Tyreek Hill to me is kind of like the Patriots' kryptonite. I mean, he's got more total receiving yards against the Patriots over the last 2 years than any other receiver in football. They can't seem to figure him out. Why?
I don't think there is a way to figure him out. I mean, a guy with that level of speed and explosion, there's almost no way of completely bottling him up. And the question is just how you go about trying to slow him down. And the Patriots have kind of done it in an interesting way. You know, the last game, they didn't put Stephon Gilmore on him. Gilmore is their number one corner. He's the number one graded cornerback at PFF this season. He's number one in contested catch rate, so even when he does give up catches, he's typically right there in coverage. And, you know, on paper, you would look at that and you say, well, if anybody's going to go one-on-one with Tyreek Hill, it would be Gilmore. But the Patriots didn't do that. They put Gilmore on Sammy Watkins, essentially took him out of the game, and then tried to use multiple guys, bracket coverage, whatever, on the other side to deal with Tyreek Hill. And they figured that that is the best way of slowing him down. And they may be right. That may be the better way of doing it, rather than leaving a guy one-on-one with Hill and just waiting for the moment that that gets exposed. Because it's almost inevitably going to happen. You know, you saw even with that battle he had with Jalen Ramsey, Ramsey did the other thing, I think, which is the only other option. with Tyreek Hill, which is to get up in his face, get aggressive, get physical at the line of scrimmage, and try and disrupt him off the line and essentially kill the route before it gets going. And it worked most of the time. The problem is when it doesn't work, if you miss the jam, if you don't get your hands on him, then it's an immediate 30-yard reception at best. You know, so when you're dealing with a guy that's that fast, that explosive, that quick off the line, it's just, it's so dangerous because it's just a matter of time before one mistake and he's wide open and it's a big play waiting to happen. So I guess the logic that the Patriots use is it's better to put more task more guys with that responsibility than it is to leave it up to just one guy who, if he makes a mess of it, it could be a touchdown.
Kareem Hunt is not a part of this game, and he had big games against the Patriots the last two times they played him as well. And I thought Carrington asked a really good question yesterday. Is this the game that the Chiefs finally miss Kareem Hunt? Do you think it will be?
What's interesting is the first time around, Kareem Hunt got a bunch of favorable matchups against the Patriots linebackers. So kind of like what we said with James White and the Chiefs linebackers, he was one-on-one with Dante Hightower a few times, got kind of wide open. They weren't able to connect the way they would have wanted. I think they've actually done a really good job of replacing what he gives you on the ground. I think Damian Williams has done a fantastic job replacing his ball carrying, but so far we haven't seen Damian Williams be the same kind of weapon in the passing game as Kareem Hunt has been. And I don't know if he's the same kind of mismatch problem to that Patriots defense that Kareem Hunt would have been. So I don't think they'll miss him on the ground in terms of carrying the ball, even if, you know, the weather takes a turn and this becomes more of a running kind of game and a traditional game on the ground. I think he'll be every bit capable of filling in for Kareem Hunt. Where it could be a problem is if they don't have that matchup problem at running back, because Kareem Hunt definitely gave that Patriots defense a problem.
Talking to Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. Sam, we got a chance to see Sammy Watkins play for the first time since the Rams game last week against the Colts. It looked to me, and I'm more of an eye test guy than an analytics guy, but it looked to me like he had a pretty big impact on that game. What did you see from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Sammy Watkins is, everybody knows what he is at this point, and I think it's a guy who can essentially take what's there if holes are opened up by Tyreek Hill, by Travis Kelce. I think Sammy Watkins can be the guy that takes advantage of those plays and essentially gets some production gifted to him because of the impact those guys have. And that's kind of what we saw last week, that everybody had their fair share of joy, but Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce opened up so much by that defense trying to cover them, and Sammy Watkins got a bunch of essentially free plays against linebackers, against guys over the middle that you wouldn't normally get if he was your number one threat in the offense. So, yeah, I think Sammy Watkins is capable of being that guy. I don't know how much is going to happen this week because if the Patriots use their same game plan, they're going to put Stephon Gilmore on Sammy Watkins. And the first time around, he was almost entirely taken out of the game because of that. And I think the same thing will happen this time if that's the plan they go with. Stephon Gilmore is, you know, like I said, he's the number one cornerback in the NFL this season. And I just don't see Watkins having too much about him to be able to get any kind of joy out of Stephon Gilmore if they're one-on-one all the way through the game. The first time around, I think they had four targets went Watkins' way, caught two of them for 18 yards. That's a pretty good return for a cornerback stuck on one guy all day.
I was watching, I think it was Inside the NFL, and they had some audio on Joey Bosa from last week, and he was talking about how hard it is to get to Brady because he gets the ball out of his hand so fast. This Chiefs team only got one sack, two quarterback hits on Brady. How exactly would you go about getting pressure on Brady in this matchup?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the Chiefs do run the right kind of defense to at least slow Brady down. I think the Chargers' problem is that they had the worst possible game plan going with Tom Brady. If there's one defense that he can carve up immediately all day long, it's that cover three kind of system that just sits back, takes away the deep threat, and lets them kill them with 1,000 paper cuts. And Tom Brady is only too happy to do that. He's probably the most patient quarterback of all time. If he has to, you know, pass the ball 60 times and all of them are for 5 yards, he's going to do that, and he's not going to get frustrated, and he's not going to snap and make a mistake and just get too aggressive and go deep. And that's a rare thing for quarterbacks. But the thing that does work against him is if teams play aggressive man coverage they can kind of disrupt those routes early, and they cause them to have to hesitate a little bit, have to wait a little bit longer with the ball to find an open guy, and that's what lets the pass rush get there. Now, Joey Bosa was dealing with the opposite effect. He was dealing with a defense that was basically giving him the easy play every single time, and that's where you have problems. But the Chiefs still run the third most man coverage of any team in the NFL. So at least I think they run the right kind of defense to at least slow down Tom Brady and give their pass rush a chance to get there. But they're right in terms of what they were looking at. Last week, Tom Brady's average time to throw was 2.1 seconds, which is ridiculous. That was like 3.5 tenths of a second faster than anybody else that week. And 3.5 tenths of a second, when you're talking about average time to throw, is an eternity. You know, the next few guys are all bunched within a couple of tenths, but Tom Brady is just completely off on his own because that defense did nothing to slow him down.
Sam, last one here. We got Chiefs and Patriots for the right to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Who do you have?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think that home field advantage is very real. The defense is a different unit at home. And I think they really are stronger across the board. This offense is still devastating. We've kind of said all season long, but if the defense just gets back to being average, the offense is almost unstoppable. That's a devastating combination. So unless the weather does something completely crazy and really makes this an ugly game, I think the Chiefs will have too much for them.
That is our guy, Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus, with stats and information so good that NBC Sports backs it and Chris Collinsworth. Sam, always appreciate the insight. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
Always love catching up with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll catch up with Greg Bedard. He is the owner of Boston Sports Journal. He broke off from Sports Illustrated to start his own website. We'll get the New England Patriots perspective from him coming up in just a minute. On the other side, we'll all take a minute and we'll give you the latest on, yes, we got to talk about it, Eric Berry. Would appear that he is going to play this Sunday for your Kansas City Chiefs. We'll do all that next. Coming up is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll catch up with Greg Bedard. He was of Sports Illustrated. He broke away to start his own website, Boston Sports Journal. We'll talk to him to get the Patriots' perspective coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll also give you a chance to win a gift card to the other place. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here. In about 5 minutes, Eric Berry, it appears, is going to play for your Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that momentarily. But as we do every day at this time, hit me. So, Alshon Jeffrey, you guys might remember, he had a big-time drop in the Eagles' playoff loss that helped eliminate them from the NFC playoffs. You would think that Alshon Jeffrey, a little upset, a little disappointed, maybe he's going to go somewhere warm. Maybe he's going to Miami. Maybe he's going to Los Angeles. Well, you know what he did this week? He stopped by a second-grade class. The second-grade class wrote letters of encouragement to him after their loss to the Saints, telling him to keep his head up. So you know what he did?
Huh.
He pulled up on the kids, spent some time with them at a second-grade class. I feel like too many times in the media, we only talk about the bad things that professional athletes do. We don't talk about a guy in Alshon Jeffrey who certainly didn't have to. Very easily just could have wrote them a letter back. I'm sure would have made all of their day. But the fact of he actually went to the second-grade class to spend some time with them, I'm giving my minute to Alshon Jeffrey.
I love it. I'll take a minute, please. We were talking about our email contest at Booth at 610 Sports Radio. And it's about, you know, what will this mean if the Chiefs win this game? If you could pop the music down for me, that'd be great. Because I want to read this story, and I want everybody to hear this. I told you about my cousin Mike, who's my older brother, and how much it would mean to him. He's almost 60 years old right now. Well, I told you about that before I saw a post that he put up about 4 hours ago. So I'm going to read this because I think a lot of fans are probably feeling the same way. Here's the post. On Christmas, when I was 10 years old, I received a book for my father. The author was the most recent quarterback of the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. A few days after Christmas, my dad instructed me to get the new book and get in the car. He didn't tell me what was going on, but we headed from our home in Merriam, Kansas, towards the Prairie Village Shops. We pulled up on the west side of the center at the B. Dalton Booksellers. He told me again to get my book, and inside we trekked. Like everything else my father did, we'd arrived early. As I meandered through the store, I suddenly realized that sitting at a standard card table was Lenny the Cool Dawson. With a glance from my dad, I approached the table. With pen in hand, he asked my name and proceeded to autograph my copy of Pressure Quarterback. I was a Chiefs fan before he moved from Nebraska, and I've been one ever since. Like others, I've endured many disappointments and much heartache over the years. Every season, I wonder if this will be the year they finally return to the Super Bowl. In 2 days, my Chiefs will step on the field in what appears to be their best chance since 1993 to reach the ultimate game. Play fast, play smart, play together, go Chiefs. I'm telling you, I think there's a lot of people out there. We're going to see some freaking tears. We are going to see a city like we've never seen before if the Chiefs are able to knock off the New England Patriots, because there's a lot of people like my cousin out there that have never seen this before. I wanted to read that post because I think it probably represents the way a lot of you feel today. That's my minute.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and try to pick things up a bit here with a positive story as well. I said it was positive as well.
Yeah, what do you mean? I'm not trying to bring it down. I'm just saying it's going to be an emotional thing, Dusty.
It's kind of lifetime-ish.
I mean, I was gonna go with the 20-foot shark and people swimming with him in Hawaii, but I thought this was much better. It suited the situation much better.
You don't want to jump the shark. All right, so in my minute, I think a lot of athletes get a lot of negative pub. Some of that is self-inflicted. Some of that is just because negative seems to sell more than positive. But Alvin Kamara, every Tuesday during the NFL season, goes out into the community and does a blue-collar job. They've got probably the biggest game of his career in the NFL. Obviously, he's only been in the league 2 years. And he decided to go out this Tuesday, this week, and be a trash man. A blue-collar job, takes time out of his day, and he was a trash guy for the entire day of Tuesday to give back to his community and, you know, kind of live the life that's not as everybody thinks he lives, is glorified in Hollywood. And he took a page out of the blue-collar book, and he went and drove around as a trash man, helping out in the community. So that's my minute with a little positive spin on some athletes, and I really like Alvin Kamara. I think he's great.
I just like the fact that we all pronounce his last name completely different. Like, I call him Alvin Kamara. You call him Alvin Kamara. I think we all know who we're talking about.
Kamara, Kamara.
Yeah, I call him Alvin Kamara. I'm pretty sure it's Alvin Kamara, I don't think it matters.
Who is Darian O'Daniel? Do we know who that is?
I don't know who that is.
Because I heard that name in the update earlier.
That's a really good question. It's so, Kamara. Earlier today, Ian Rappaport gave this report on NFL Network about Eric Berry.
Berry goes, He did practice fully this week, a very good sign that he is expected to play on Sunday. Remember, the Chiefs, kind of as a precaution, took him off the field last week, hoping they would get through the game, win, and maybe he would be able to play in the all-important AFC title game that is expected to happen. So the Chiefs should have their defensive leader.
So Eric Berry has been a full participant every day this week for the Kansas City Chiefs, and then, which was a big surprise to me, Eric Berry actually spoke with the media today. You know what that means.
Eric Berry talked today?
Eric Berry talked to the media. I think it's very simple. If you talk to the media, the expectation is that you are going to play in the game. So we got to start talking about this a little bit differently. It will appear that Eric Berry is going to suit up and try to give it a go for your Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday against the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I both were under the impression that if Berry didn't play last week, there's probably no way that he was going to be able to go this week if they won. And then Ron Parker gets cut, LDT gets activated, and then you're looking at the roster, you're like, man, you're going into the game against the Patriots with three safeties and Eric Berry? Doesn't make much sense. But, yeah, if he's talking, he's playing. I mean, that's fact with the Chiefs. If somebody's hurt and they're not going to play, they're not putting them in front of a podium and they aren't talking to the media.
I'm thinking of this game, and I remember the last time that Eric Berry played against the New England Patriots. He was kind of the Gronk neutralizer in that one. I believe Gronk only had one catch, didn't really get targeted a whole lot. Berry did a fantastic job against the then all-pro tight end. I'm looking at it now. I think Berry's impact and where he's needed is going to be much more in the run defense. The Patriots are averaging 158 yards after the bye week. They're a team that's going to be committed to running the football. They're going to run it early. They're going to run it often with Sonny Michel. I think you're going to need him way more helping you in the run game than the pass game this time around against New England.
Or even keeping an eye on James White out of the backfield, too. Maybe that's something that he does as well. But I'm with you. I think you could probably, if Gronk is what you think he is, pretty much washed up and not going to be a factor in this game. I still think he's going to be a factor in this game. But you could probably cover him with somebody else. Maybe if it's a Jordan Lucas, a Dan Sorensen, somebody like that, or maybe a third corner that you want to put on him. But I think you're right. I agree with you 100% on that, C-Dot. I mean, one of the things that Eric Berry was, you know, touted when he came out of Tennessee was that he was a run-stopping safety. And if that's the case, you absolutely 100% need him for this game.
I looked this up. I know you're really big into targets. I know, you know, you play a lot of fantasy football, so you really look at targets.
I hate reality. I love fantasy.
I was really curious, after Josh Gordon, how the balls got divvied up for the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. Because we all know that Josh Gordon was an important part of that offense. Brady was starting to get more trust in him. And where were Tom Brady's passes going to? 29 have gone to Julian Edelman. Mm-hmm. 26 have gone to James White. That's their one and their two. James White actually has the most catches on the team since Josh Gordon was dismissed from the team. That's their number one pass-catching option, even though he's a running back. Hogan is third at 16. Gronk isn't even top five right now in targets for them. He has six targets since the Josh Gordon injury. I know everybody keeps saying that Gronk still has that one good game left, and he's still got that last. No, it's over. Gronk is not a key part of their offense anymore. I'm much more worried about Edelman, much more worried about White and Hogan and Dorsett and Cordarrelle Patterson. Gronk is just down there in the list of guys I'm worried about in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm just not going in with that mindset, though. I get you. I understand it based on what they've done. But wouldn't that be a total Belichick thing, though? A total Josh McDaniels thing to put you to sleep, play the old rope-a-dope, get you not paying attention to something, and then when you're not paying attention, you get a haymaker right in your jaw from Rob Gronkowski? I mean, I think that's exactly what Belichick would do. That's exactly what he would do. So I understand what you're saying over the last 6 weeks or so. He hasn't been a factor of this thing. But, man, if Rob Gronkowski is out there, if Gronk's on the field, I'm paying attention to him.
Pop quiz.
Stand by. Going to air. Five, four, three, two, one.
Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner today gets a gift card to the other place. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio, and you got to know this upcoming movie. Hit it, Dusty.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the difference between winning and losing. Yeah! Between living and dying. Yeah!
If you guys know what movie that is, be calling number 6-913-576-7610. Coming up in 2 minutes, don't turn that dial. We'll give you another chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest in the 3 o'clock hour. And Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal will join us and give us the Patriots perspective. All that coming up is The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.